Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
And welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have with me today a digital marketing for accountants legend. It's MC Carter. Good day, sir.
G'day, Rob. How are you?
We're splendid. Great to have you with us, MC. Where are you in the world today?
Well, I'm sitting on the Sunshine Coast, which is in Queensland, Australia.
Well, it is wonderful to have you with us. And MC, for the benefit of people that haven't come across you, and I can't believe there are many, just tell us a little bit about your background and your areas of expertise.
It's an eclectic background. I started out life as an industrial designer. And then when I realized that the best design products don't win the best marketing, I gravitated into digital marketing because I see it as a great way to do a style of marketing that's educational rather than promotional. 11 years ago, we started Practice Paradox because I saw an opportunity for accounting firms if they did harness what then were new ways. Of course, they're commonplace now, but blogging, social media, video, webinars. I thought if accountants learned how to harness these educational tools, it would help them get their message out about their non-compliant services, which a lot of them state that they want to do. But in reality, across the globe, not a high enough percentage yet of accounting firms who want to do that advisory are doing it. And I feel education is the key.
It's a fair point. But let's just drop back to the practice paradox. I mean, I know that word paradox. It's kind of like a problem or an unsolvable riddle. So what's the meaning behind that? Because you have that in a lot of your IP, don't you?
Yeah, I write about a lot of different paradoxes. You know, the word paradox. Yeah, people say, MC, isn't it a puzzle that you can't solve?
Yeah.
And one definition of it is it's seemingly contradictory statement that doesn't make sense.
Counterintuitive.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive. Mm. But when you think it through, it ends up being true. So to me, a paradox represents a hidden truth. And in my life experience, a few decades under my belt now, to me, many of life's wisdoms actually lie behind paradoxes. So I've always been fascinated by paradoxes and how that relates to the accounting profession. And the reason I named our company Practice Paradox is I started blogging about things like the numbers paradox. And that's about the fact that accounting as an advisory profession does not revolve around numbers. It revolves around people. So that's something that just makes people's mind implode right from the get-go. What are you saying? Accounting doesn't revolve around numbers. Of course it does, you fool. But when you think it through, as an advisory profession, it must primarily revolve around people. And things like the people paradox is where I talk about the accounting profession keeps attracting and recruiting people who won't make good advisors. And one more example, the proactivity paradox. A lot of accounting firms anoint themselves as being proactive accountants, but they haven't defined what proactive means and they haven't worked out how to measure proactivity. So to me, each of those is a paradox that I find fascinating, that when you drill into it, what becomes apparent is a truth and a wisdom that if you grasp it, will move you to the next level in evolving your firm.
Got that. Makes good sense. But while you mention it, what is proactivity with regards to accountants?
Well, my definition of proactivity in terms of an activity, KPI. So, you know, everyone listening to this obviously knows the difference between results and activities on that.
Yeah. You're talking about lagging and leading KPIs, aren't you, Dad?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So for me, one of them is FAMs, which is FFAM, which is Future Focused Advisory Meeting. So a Future Focused Advisory Meeting is a meeting that the firm made happen. It wasn't just a start of job, end of job, compliance related meeting. And the client arrives to it knowing the purpose of it, the timeframe and so on. So in our parlance, you'd call it a sales meeting, but advising is selling. Advising is selling courses of action that people pay for. So we get accounting firms to have a system in place of setting appointments with their clients to invite them in to talk about some of these future-focused advisory services. So that's one clear measure of productivity is how many FAMs are happening in the firm each month, and you can break it down to per partner, per senior client advisor, because you know the person that does have the most conversations in terms of future-focused conversation ends up winning, not just from a revenue growth perspective, but they end up making the biggest positive impact to their clients because they are steering them along the road that's ahead and not just telling them where they've been.
But that's a paradox in itself, isn't it, MC? Because accountants by nature, they do look backwards. They're not future focused. They're historically based. That's where the compliance and a lot of the value traditionally has been for an accountant. So you're getting them to look at that paradox and say, flip that and let's all start being future focused.
Yeah, I think one trap too for all of us is dichotomous thinking where we think, is the answer this or that in parenting? Is it nature or nurture? In X exercise and health, you know, is it diet or exercise? Well, it's both. So I think from an accounting perspective, compliance and reporting is crucial. So anyone who says compliance is dead, I think should just put their caftans on, hold hands and skip off through the meadow. Compliance is never going to be dead.
Yeah.
It's important. And anyone wants to know how important it is, just try doing it incorrectly or not at all. The penalties are severe. So I think compliance is a great base to then build productivity on top. So, you know, another quote that really lights my fire, the American author, F. Scott Fitzgerald, he wrote The Great Gatsby. And I love this quote, "The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function."
Like that.
To not just fall over. So that's alluding to a paradox. It's like these two things are contradictory. So it's important for every accounting firm, clearly, if you've got small and medium-sized businesses, to do a great job on that compliance and reporting piece. Absolutely. But the opportunity is to also say, right, okay, this is where we can take you next month, next quarter, and beyond as well.
Yeah, I like that. Your F. Scott Fitzgerald quote reminds me of one by Eric Hoffer, who said, "The mark of an educated person," and we would deem that an accountant is an educated person because they are super smart, "but the mark of an educated person is the degree to which they are willing to let go of old ideas to replace them with new ideas," because you've got to let go of old stuff to embrace the new stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Zig Ziglar said, qualities are a sign of life. You want problems. You definitely want problems, but you want higher quality problems. So if everyone can evolve each month, each quarter to higher quality problems, they're headed in a good direction.
Well, while we're doing quotes, I love the one from Jim Rohn. He said, "Don't pray for less problems, pray for more skills." We want problems because that's what we're paid to solve. So the bigger they are, the more we get paid, but you just got to have the skills and the expertise to deal with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, accountants as a race, we know that they deal with certainty. When you look at accounting and marketing, it seems like they're almost opposites, isn't it, MC? Mm. How do you square that circle?
It certainly does. And
you'd expect accountants to run a mile from marketing, wouldn't you? Really?
Well, absolutely. And they do. And they do.
Which is why they bring you in, I guess.
Why I'm smiling now is when I started Paradox 11 years ago, and people would say, "So what are you doing in this new venture?" Saying, "Well, we're teaching accountants how to do marketing." Some people would spit their coffee out and go, "But why?" They would be incredulous over it. You know, they talk about first mover advantages. And, you know, when we started, I fully expected to find some consultants, coaches, agencies out there that were specializing in this new form of marketing that back then wasn't even called digital marketing, but in these new forms of marketing, and I expected to find them, and I didn't, which surprised me. You know, marketing is the ability to communicate value. That's what it is, one to many, the ability to communicate value. So I'm under no illusions that we are really only helping progressive accountants. So most will run from marketing because I think society has taught many of us to be skeptical about spin and salespeople that you've dealt with over the past that haven't really had your best interests at heart, you know, industries like used car sales or telemarketers and canvassers. So people have a negative perception to it. But in professional services, B2B, marketing really is just working on how to communicate and help others. But the one thing that I say to accountants is accounting has rules, it has structure, and it has numbers. And the way we do marketing, we're big on structure, logic, measurability. Sure.
And they can relate to that, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be dealing with people who are doing what I call marketing for pretty pictures. You know, that's the ponytail set, I call them, who think, we've got this beautiful website done for you. Isn't it gorgeous? Goodbye and good luck.
Yeah.
Well, that's just the start of the process is when the website goes live. It's now about actually getting that site to rank well in Google for specific phrases and generate leads off the back of it. So we're into pragmatic marketing, which progressive accountants do relate to.
Well, I want to ask you about the big mistakes you see accounting firms make with their marketing. And that must be one of them, is just focusing on the brand and the logo and the nice website and not really getting into the functionality of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a challenge in any small business to get good at marketing because it's a multi-skilled facet. There's strategy, there's writing, there's presenting, there's technology. So, you know, it's a multifaceted area. But I think from an accounting firm's perspective, they are really preyed upon by vendors to the accounting profession who each have their bright, shiny object, their app, their platform, their website for accountants offering. And it's easy for an accountant in public practice to bounce around from one bright, shiny object to the next, taking advice from what I call silver bullet vendors. You know, the old silver bullet, one silver bullet will do the trick with the werewolf, but not in marketing. You know, their pitches, and look, in their defense, these people who are trying to sell things to accountants are saying, yes, you sign up to this social media platform, it will be the answer to your prayers. But there's no system, no structure. Where does that tool fit within the overall context? So that's a big part of it, is taking advice from people who are just selling them widgets and silver silver bullet. And taking advice from marketing for pretty pictures. No one needs to become an expert in marketing, but you do need to become savvy enough in it to be able to brief and guide providers, if that makes sense.
And to that end, MC, are vendors, do they have a case to answer? Are they too salesy? Do they not have the accountant's interest at heart sometimes? Can we call them out on this?
Well, look, I don't know that any of them have any malintent, but yeah. You know, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. To yeah. a surgeon, the answer is always surgery. To someone with this great little social media platform that'll view out templated content written by third parties, to them, that's a really great solution.
Yeah.
And it can be within a greater context, but the bigger picture questions are to the accounting firm practitioner listening to us now is, what is your strategy? Objectives are not strategy, you know, growth targets, etc. Mm-hmm. They're all endpoints. How are you going to win the game? And you know, who's your target market? How do you want to position the brand? How do you want to be perceived in the marketplace? What's your value proposition? These are all questions that should be clarified and answered before you rebrand, before you do a website, before you get active in social media. And the problem is people put the cart before the proverbial horse and get active in these methods of publishing content, but it's non-strategic.
Yeah. So I get that the biggest mistakes accountants and accounting firms make with the marketing is just aiming and firing, but they're not thinking about targets and they're not strategic. So I guess in converse to that, the successful firms, what do they do differently with their marketing to get it right?
There are a few different traits.
Yeah.
And recently we did an analysis of our most successful client. What have been the traits of the accounting firms? Because we've got some mega successful clients that have won all sorts of industry awards and, you know, extremely profitable and growing, and they're having fun doing it. So some of the traits were they address strategy first,
yeah.
which I mentioned just earlier, and they're willing to learn the frameworks for strategy. And I'll continue on the traits in a moment, but what that made us realize is, hang on, before we start doing blogging and email newsletters and social posts, we should require our clients to go through a process to get their strategy right. In the past, it was always highly recommended, and often people go, no, can you just do my blogging for you, etc. Now we require everyone to do a strategy fast track with us to get three things right, because people come to you and say, I want your X, Y, Z, and you say, you can have it, but not before you go do A, B, and C. They get their nose out of joint thinking, just give me what I asked for. Well, what you asked for isn't what just yet. So strategy is number one. Another trait is they invest in design. They get that there's only that one opportunity to make a first impression, as that saying goes, and they are willing to invest in design. They don't get their son or daughter or someone on their staff who's not a graphic designer to do their logo. Yet the amount of amateur design I see, it's absolutely endemic in the accounting profession. So they invest in design. Usually they're counterintuitive, they're mavericks themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And often we work with people that even shun the old way and the old boring tag that the accounting profession has. And they're on their own personal mission to shake things up and to really put a modern face forward. But progressive thinkers, strategic thinkers, invest in design, and then really embracing the fact that their job is to educate their clients about things they could be implementing in their life.
So that's the three things. You get the strategy right, you get the design right, and you get the content, the thought leadership, the educational part of it right?
Yeah, education is a good way to describe it. But most content that accounting firms are spewing out there is dark, dry, technical, and to their target market, dull. The type of content that engages most is ones that educates their clients and their potential clients to a point where it creates a gap in their mind. The psychologists call it cognitive dissonance, which is a discomfort, a dissonance between the newfound beliefs and understanding that the education has created and their current situation.
Yeah.
Because until you create a gap between where people know they are now and where they could see they could be, until there's a gap, there's no need to bridge it. And your advisory services in an accounting firm, they are footbridges across these gaps. So education is the ethical way to create those gaps. So for example, small businesses don't manage their cash flow well, don't predict and plan well. They think looking at their bank balance is a way of managing cash flow. And the low level of sophistication in the small business market is a challenge for accounting firms who are targeting small businesses, because starting a small business, to me, it's like becoming a parent. They have a lot in common. They're two of the hardest things to do in the world. They're both very exciting to get started, but they involve no qualification.
Yeah.
And not until people get into it, they realize, this is a lot harder than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So that is a challenge for accounting firms, but rather than complain about it, the progressive firms going, right, how can we educate our small business owners about, in that example, cash flow and the principles of planning ahead, using real-time data flows, using AI apps to kind of replicate past patterns out into the future and predict and avoid cash flow crunches. That's high value service that if educated well, explained well to their clients, that it's easy to sell because people want certainty and less stress in their life. And that's essentially what a good advisory accountant is selling.
I'm into that. that. Now, you've got a couple of gray hairs, just like me. You've been doing this a long time. How has marketing changed? Because back in the day, you'd have been just called a marketing expert, but now you are a digital marketing expert. So the game has changed, hasn't it?
It sure has. And there's lots of phrases that get thrown about. One of the most common ones, popularized by a US company called HubSpot, which you'd be familiar with, is the difference between outbound marketing and inbound marketing.
Yeah.
And for those not familiar with that term or only vaguely familiar with it, outbound marketing is my view of old school marketing. Now, I'm actually an introvert. Sometimes people go, are you sure about that? I prefer gatherings of only a handful of people rather than large gatherings.
And me too, my friend. Me too.
I've never been one to work the room and, you know, to do the networking. All of those old breakfasts and lunches you can go to and network and stand up and do your little elevator pitch.
Well, we're situational extroverts. That's the phrase, MC. You and I both. We can turn it on if we have to and do the speaking. We can turn it on for situations. But when you ask us how we recharge our batteries, we kind of want to be on our own or in a small crowd and walk in the beach or whatever. Yeah,
100%. But all of those outbound tasks, like prospecting, you know, I remember asking one firm before they started working with us, how have you been getting your clients so far? They said, you know, the usual way, knocking on doors and pounding the pavement. I said, that sounds like hard work. He went, shit, yeah. You know, outbound is, as Seth Godin coined very well back in early, mid to late 90s, interruption marketing, where you're just getting in front of people and go, hey, I've got something that you want. So all of those things I hate. So telemarketing, outbound telemarketing, I hate it. I hate receiving it. I hate any business that does it. You know, it's strong dislike. Maybe hate's too strong. But any of those things where you have to reach out and interrupt others.
Well, networking is another example, isn't it?
Yeah, networking. If you're going to industry events and you like networking, yeah, great. But if your business requires you to get out there and always be networking, pressing the flesh, you don't have any inbound marketing happening. And what I love about inbound marketing is people are knocking on your door. You're not knocking on theirs. They're coming to you. They're lining up and using things like blogging and videos and webinars and emails and social. It's all content driven, of course, because you're educating them along the way. By the time they do inquire, they're a pleasure for you to talk to because they get you, they get your values, what you're about, who you serve. And the conversation more quickly turns to, you know, like a scoping conversation of specifically, how can you help me? Not, are you the right one for me? So I think for a busy accountant, the idea of having pre-educated inbound leads is nirvana. But again, let's not have dichotomous thinking about it. You can still do that, those old forms of marketing if they're working for you and you enjoy doing them. But if you can have leads show up in your email inbox most days, I think that's a better way to go. Certainly, it's more efficient.
And that's the difference between the big and small firms in a way, MC, isn't it? That they have their own in-house marketing department. They've got the engine room. But the smaller firms, they would come to you and what? Would they want it done for them or done with them? Or would they want you to teach them to do it themselves?
Great question, Rob. It does depend. We walk our talk. We have our own target buyer personas. And so the typical firms we deal with include brand new startups or breakout startups where, let's say, a person was a partner in a multi-partner firm, trying to get the other partners in recent years to make shifts to be more modern, then gave up. Okay. Or there are firms that have seen some of these other maverick firms and they come to us and say, we'll have what they're having.
Yeah.
And that approach of, do they want to learn how to do it versus done for you? Most, it's a blend. Some of the startups who are a bit shorter on funds come to us and say, just teach us and we'll go and do it. And that happens. That's rare. Most, it is definitely a blend. But here's the challenge about resourcing marketing within any small business, let alone an accounting firm, is the best marketing talent out there is not studying and getting great at what they're doing right now and going, I really hope I get a job with a small business in this suburb. They're not. It's hard to attract really good talent in-house in a small business or accounting firm. It's really, really difficult. But let's say you had a great brand and you could attract them. Do you know how to actually screen the talent? Like, do you know who to pick? Do you know how to onboard them? Do you know how to train them? Do you know how to supervise them? The answer to all those questions is typically no.
No.
Apart from that, to find what's called a full stack marketer, so someone who understands strategy, is good at writing, or copywriting as it's called, is good at design, is good at SEO, is good at the marketing technology, they are super rare. And if you could hire them, they would be extremely expensive because they're such valuable resources. So the idea of like hiring a person inside your firm going, you're going to drive all of our marketing, is it's a mission to fail from the get-go. Not to say you can't have some internal resources, but every business needs to augment its internal capability with a handful of external specialists.
Yeah.
Things they can't do in-house.
And I love the term of full stack marketing because you can't really get a full stack accountant, can you? One that's great with the tax and great with the compliance and great with the advisory. They're rare as well, aren't they? Great with the selling, great with the people skills. That's a rare
Yeah, those who have that nice blend of the high analytical and also, you know, the great people skills tend to, in their career, go extremely well into senior management or running their own business partner level. Mm. But that's not to denigrate, by the way, anyone who is just super good at the analytical role. To me, in accounting firms, like a football team, there's different positions, different roles, and everyone can find their groove within that. But you know, definitely it is a challenge to find an all-rounder. I always say I've never been a Hall of Fame built to generalists.
Yeah.
A generalist is generally going to be pretty mediocre at what they're spreading themselves across.
I like it. Hence the need to bring in expertise. So we've established the old school marketing is the outbound stuff. The modern marketing, and you talk a lot about modern marketing, that's the inbound, the digital stuff as we know it. So in terms of a first step for an accounting firm that wants to get on the front foot with their marketing, what do you advise them to do first? And what would you stop them from doing?
Okay, definitely don't go and engage in a new brand, logo, website, anything like that. So don't go into any projects. Don't create any content. Don't stop. Do not pass go. Get clear on your strategy. Get clear on what's called target buyer personas, which is a very in-depth description. There are actually dozens of factors that we help firms define per target buyer persona, which is essentially an imaginary person who's your ideal client.
Yeah,
so you need to define your avatar. Yes. Yeah. So get super clear on that. And for a sole practitioner, two, maximum three of those. And ideally have them complementary or counter-cyclical in one way, in terms of if you've got any target markets that might be a bit boom and bust depending on the economy or the building and construction industry, you might want some others that don't follow that same economic cycle. The next thing is to get clear on how you want to be perceived by those people and then work out your value proposition. So all of that stuff is what will then allow an accountant to go to someone who creates websites, who writes websites, and give them a killer brief.
Yeah.
If anyone's ever had a challenge just giving a brief to a logo, a branding designer, or a website designer, it's because they don't have clarity on these things. When you're clear on your avatar, your positioning, your value proposition, the provider will probably hug you and go, thank goodness, this is the first time I've had a good brief in years. And that allows them to create fantastic outcome for you.
And just as important on that, you can hold the marketers accountable for that brief. I remember a friend of mine saying, I wanted to get into Facebook, so I paid these people to do loads of Facebook for me. And I didn't know what I was asking for. I didn't know what they were doing right or wrong. There was a big black hole in my brief. But if you know what you want, you can hold those experts accountable for what they're doing for you.
Exactly. And that's that point about just getting savvy to a level that you can do proper delegation rather than abdication. And I'm glad you've raised that point, because that's a trait of a pattern of failure in marketing, is to do what they call in one of my favorite books, The Four Disciplines of Execution. They talk about, you know, stroke of a pen execution. There are certain things in your business that can be implemented with the stroke of a pen.
Yeah.
Sign the check, sign the proposal. I need a server in the corner that meets those specs, or these days in the cloud. But marketing is one that if you try to execute through stroke of the pen, and what that looks like is, oh, I've Googled, I found an agency, I've met you, you didn't offend me too much. Yes, I signed up. You handle the marketing. I don't want to think about it. Goodbye.
Mm.
And then X months later, a year later, they go to the agency. Oh, we didn't get results. It didn't work. Well, it was never going to work, because a good relationship needs to be collaborative. It really is collaborative. You know, everyone listening to this has expertise. They've got expertise in what it is that they can communicate, but they might not have expertise in articulating that. So a marketing agency, let's say doing blogging for you, they can't imagine your expertise. They need to draw that out of your head in conversations and interviews and have processes to get that out of you. So yeah, definitely avoid abdication, because that's a great way to burn cash and not get results. Delegation is when you actually understand the guts of what you're asking someone else to do for you.
Yeah, you make a brilliant point. Here at the Business Development Academy, we train accountants to win work, and we rely on them engaging marketers like you, because that's the lead generation side of it. But what happens when they've got those leads, and we teach them at that point that business development, probably just like marketing, it's not like flicking a switch on and off or the stroke of a pen. You can't just watch a YouTube video and get it right. It's nuanced. It's complex. It involves people, and they're complex creatures. So you've got to master this over time rather than just getting it overnight.
Exactly. You can't flick a switch in any of that. I love the change management model that says to bring about effective change or to master an area of your life, you need three things. You need the mindset, you need skills, and you need systems. And the mindset comes first, because if people think that's just marketing, that's just selling, they shouldn't do any training. They shouldn't invest any software, because they won't have the mindset to actually apply it. They do need to invest in some skills. And, you know, with sales skills, I love sales process and business development, because sure, whilst there's natural aptitude, it's a science, isn't it? There's a process to it that can be learned and honed over time.
Yeah. Well, MC, this has been brilliant today. There's so much more I want to talk to you about, but we're running out of time. You work internationally, presumably. You're digital. You can be everywhere at the same time, in a way. currently, right?
Yeah, that's right. We've got clients on virtually every continent, not Antarctica, but yeah, we've got clients all over the world.
So if people want to have a conversation with you, learn more about the great stuff that you do, what's a good way for them to reach you?
Well, they can feel free to email me, MC, that's my initials, MC@practiceparadox.com.au. But that might be a bit high gradient for people having just listened to this. I'd recommend go to Google and Google the professionalism paradox, another paradox. It's a blog article that I wrote about why boring branding hurts accountants. And I'm talking about branding at the firm level, and I'm talking about branding at the professions level. It is really holding back the accounting profession. And in that blog post, it's a long blog post, we give examples of firms that have transformed from being boring with their branding to being modern. And there's a checklist that people can download and assess themselves about whether they're boring or not boring.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about your blog. You write very passionately about the marketing and the accounting world. So that's well worth checking out. So MC, would you leave the accountants listening with some words of hope, inspiration, or advice to get the marketing on track and really start attracting the clients that they want?
Marketing, like anything in life, is easy once you know how. There's structure and there's logic to it, but there is a sequence to that structure. Don't put the cart before the horse one step at a time. Investigate with us how we can help you get those strategic foundations in place before going off and talking to any vendors of solutions.
And that's it. That's the whole point, isn't it? Get the help you need, because you're not going to have the nous if you like to do this on your own. There's too much to think about.
Well, that's right. And it's a team effort. Everyone in business these days needs to focus on their core competencies and outsource everything else. So that's, you know, the lean way to operate, as we know. And we'd love to be the outsourced marketing team for progressive firms listening to us now, because it is awesome when you see the difference. Let me finish with this. Today, a client said to me, I asked him how he's been going amid the whole COVID-19 pandemic and the lockdowns, because clearly that's produced turmoil in small business. Uh-huh. And you know what he said? He said, I've never felt more alive about being an accountant than I have lately. And I said, tell me more about that. He said, we have just been helping clients in such crucial ways, helping them keep their nose above water, helping them survive, that they're just so grateful. They're hugging us, they're thanking us, and I just love what I do. And by extension, that's why we love what we do, is because accountants do make a profound difference to their clients when they get in there and get involved. So, you know, that's the difference that we want to make, is help accountants have more of their clients basically incredibly grateful and hugging them for the help that they give them.
And I love that, MC, because we've come full circle. Now is the time for accountants to step up as advisors. It's now more client-led than ever before. Whatever the problems that businesses are going through with COVID, the pain, the insolvency, the cash flow problems, or the opportunities, the innovation, the accountant is the answer, isn't it?
100%. The accountants have found themselves as being a hub for advice and trust in the small business community. And, you know, with that, trust obviously becomes an opportunity and a responsibility to do it. Accountants know more about their clients than any other profession, more than their people's lawyers or people's bankers, because you're seeing, you know, beyond the kimono, they're seeing the reality of people's financials. And that's a real responsibility and opportunity to help them improve their life. But people are, I love Jay Abraham, the guru marketer from the state. He says that people are silently begging to be led. They want leadership, but they're not going to ask for it. So as an accountant, as an advisor, you show leadership, you show people a better place they can be, and they'll follow. But don't expect it to fall in your lap. Don't expect them to come asking for it until you first educate them.
Wow. Well, MC Carter, that's been world-class today. Thank you so much for your inspiration and your insights and your time.
Pleasure to spend time with you, Rob. Look forward to catching up again.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.